for you. And I believe that he does. Let's follow the Lord, see what he'll teach us tonight in his word. We've been this year studying through the Psalms together, and we've made our way to Psalm 18. Of course, we're just preaching them as the Lord directs us to do so, and as he gives his thoughts from these wonderful, wonderful passages and portions of Scripture. And I've been challenged just studying them and letting the Lord speak to my heart. I think his brother Sammy Allen said, if you'll read the Psalms every day, you keep your song. And I believe if we preach often out of them, it'll help a church keep their song. And I believe the Lord's got some things in store for us tonight. If you will stand with me, I have the reverence of reading God's Word. And I don't know if we'll read it all. This is the fourth largest psalm. If I've got it figured right, it's the fourth largest psalm in the Psalms. And it's got 50 verses in it. But we'll read several verses tonight. And maybe we'll read them all. We'll just try to follow the Lord and see what he'd have us to do. I don't want to keep you all night. But I want us to get something from God's Word. The Bible said in verse number 1, Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell can pass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. And darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee, listen what David said here, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of all their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. I know that's a lot of reading tonight, and I'll try to hasten through this psalm tonight. No way we could deal with each individual verse. But I want to give you some truths tonight. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach on this thought on going from victim to victory. Going from victim to victory. You can be seated tonight. We've been preaching the last two or three weekends now on the subject of victory in Jesus. And we've been trying to expound the fact that when God saved you and I, and he saved you and I to a life of victory, he intends that you and I have life. He said that the devil had come before to steal and to kill and to destroy, that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I believe that speaks, my friend, that the life that Christ has saved you and I to is to be a life of victory. It's to be a life of abundance. It's to be, my friend, a life on a different plane than many Christians live their lives in the iron age in which we live. Now, this is, I guess, by man's standard, an accident. Then we come to Psalm 18, and it ain't on purpose that we're preaching on victory on Sunday, said, and that we're in a psalm tonight that I believe exalts victory. Amen. But I would say with God, everything is right in line and is right in order. As I said, as we begin to read this psalm tonight, it's the fourth largest psalm of all the psalms in your King James Bible. It's written according to the heading tonight. We'll see in a moment. It is a psalm of David. This is a psalm that is penned by the great psalmist of Israel. This psalm in its first version is to be read in 2 Samuel 22. And many believe that my friend David wrote this as one of the last psalms that he would ever pen. In 2 Samuel 22, you'll read the phrase, and these were the last words of David. Now, obviously, they weren't the last things that he said. And so it's believed that it's the last psalm that David penned down. And we come to Psalm 18 according to its heading tonight. We believe that this psalm was penned upon David realizing the Lord had given him victory over all his enemies, and it emphasizes the particular enemy that David had in his early years after he'd been anointed, that being the very hand of Saul. If you got a good study, study Bible, look at the heading with me tonight. The Bible said unto the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and we read of this psalm in its entirety tonight, what David said. When you come to this heading and come to this psalm, we understand that evidently David has woke up one morning and David realizes, he looks around and he understands that there are no battles to be fought that day, that and seemingly the Lord has let him come into a place where he's enjoying and relaxing in the victories that God has won for him. Now David's life had not always been battleless. In fact, when you study the life of David, you find that David was a man that often, in fact, for 10 long years, he ran from the hand of Saul. And Saul sought to take his life. And everywhere, seemingly, every time David turned around, it was either Saul or the Philistines or another enemy, the Amalekites, who were coming against it. And David's life was lived, my friend, being persecuted and hated. And my friend, people seeking to destroy his life. When we consider the fact tonight, the word victim, amen, I believe it adequately describes the kind of life that David saw himself in and lived, as you even read through the Psalms and the things that he wrote about his life. Here's what Webster said about a victim. He said a victim is something that is destroyed, something sacrificed in the pursuit of an object. When you consider David and Saul and their relationship and how David stayed on the run, we understand that that Saul sought to destroy and sacrifice the very life of David so that Saul could be gratified and his jealousy could be appeased and satisfied in his bosom. Now David, my friend, it appears that as we said, he wakes up one morning, and now if you'll read 2 Samuel 21, you'll find all the giants and the Philistines have been slain. God has delivered them, and David is meditating upon the fact that God has rid him of this great nemesis that he's had in his life. He begins to contemplate, I believe, all the battles that he's been through, all the wars that he's had to face. He thinks back to all the times that his back was up against the wall, all the times that David considered himself to be a victim, and my friend, to be hunted down. And my friend, considering there that people have sought to destroy the very one that God had anointed. It's been many years since God has had David anointed, and it seemed like that, my friend, for many of those years that the plan and purpose of God in the life of David would never come to pass. And so he's reflecting on these things and he's remembering these things, and David pins down what I believe is one of the greatest psalms tonight, a song of victory, a song of thanks, a song of praise, a psalm of worshiping God. Amen. I believe the attitude of this psalm, amen, as David is in them great years of his life, years of peace, and years of enjoying the victories that God has won, that David, my friend, gives you an act of the spirit of a child of God that is able to pin down and sing a song with victory in his heart. I want to preach tonight, amen, on David's life out of this psalm, on what it is to go from victim to victory. You understand, we're living in a generation of victims. Amen. Everybody's a victim. Everybody, my friend, has a victim mentality. They talk about the way they're raised, and they're a victim of their past family, and they talk about their financial situation, and they're a victim of an Adam and economy. We we could deal with Christians tonight and where they are spiritually. And many of them, my friend, they portray themselves as being victim of some circumstance that has set itself against them. I know some preachers, when you hear them preach, that, my friend, they're victims of the church they pastor with. And everywhere you look, my friend, everybody has a victim mentality about them. Can I say, my friend, God don't want us living like victims. Amen. God wants us living in victory. Amen. God don't want us living in that. Listen. Amen. We're going to cry our tears, and I'm not saying that, that we ought not weep, but amen. God wants us to go from weeping tonight to worship. Amen. From pouting to praise and on tonight. We can go this evening. So, amen. I want to preach tonight on going from victim to victory. Amen. Using the life of David, I'm glad tonight that I don't have to live like a victim. Amen. I just be honest with you. Amen. I'm tired of living like a victim. I'm tired of independent fundamental Baptists in our generation acting, my friend, like God is dead. And we're victims in this thing of being saved. Amen. You're looking at one child of God, one preacher tonight. Amen. That can truly say, I've never been sorry. Amen. That ever got saved. Amen. I believe He is the dearest friend I ever had. And there have been battles to fight. There have been burdens to face. There have been things, my friend, we've had to go through that are discouraging. But thank God. Amen. There is a way to go from being a victim to living in victory. Amen. Consider this psalm with me, if you will. Amen. Consider with me the reflections that David expounds in this psalm. Now consider with me tonight, I think there's two main reflections that David gives. You'll find them in verses 4 through 18 as we've read them in your hearing tonight. Consider with me, David reflects tonight upon his loads that he's had to carry. And the Bible said in verse number 4, the sorrows of death can pass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Sorrows of hell can pass me about. The snares of death prevented me. What is David saying? David is saying it. And there have been times in my life that I felt like my back was up against a wall, and I felt like death was creeping in upon me, and I felt like I'd been banked between a rock and a hard place. He said, I felt the very sorrows of hell at times had set themselves against me. He declares tonight that there were times the snares of death prevented me, which literally means and describes, but Gerald, that David has felt like there have been times that he's not only been banked in a corner and the enemy has crept in and gotten his face set. My friend, he feels like his hands have been tied and his feet have been tied and he's actually been bound with cords. This is further complicated in David's description of his load as he reflects on, my friend, what he's been through. Look again, if you will, in verse number 6. The Bible said, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. David said, I felt like there were times when the enemy put me in situations that my hands were tied. I couldn't do anything. And they left me out in waters to drown in. Amen. Have you ever been there where David's talking about? Amen. The load that you carried was more than you can face. David is identified, my friend, for a moment and reflecting on the times where he felt like a victim. Amen. The pressure is mounted up. Amen. His hands are tied. Have you ever been to a place where you couldn't do anything and you was afraid for how things is going to turn out, and hell whispered in your ear, there's no way you're going to make it. You're going to be destroyed. You'll never make it through these waters. You can't even swim through them. Amen. That's where David said, as he reflects on this times of his life, times where he got to that place in his life, amen, where he felt like he was a victim. Notice with me, David and he moves from that into verse number 6, and he said, in mad distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. That word distress is a word that David uses throughout the Psalms, and it deals with my friend being stressed out. Amen. Being in a place where, my friend, you don't know what you're going to do. Literally, it describes a man that, as we've already described tonight, at verse 16, but literally it describes a man that is on the brink of drowning. He's doing everything he can to keep his nose above the water, and the waves are beating down on him, and the storm is pounding him. And David said, I got to the place where my load, it just had distressed me. Notice when me, David moves from reflecting and expounding and reflection upon his load to where he begins to reflect upon his Lord. The Bible said in his distress, what did David do? He said, I called upon the Lord. Hey, man, I didn't have nobody else to go to. Saul had no mercy for me. Philistines didn't care where I was at. My own family and David's own family at times, my friend, couldn't care less about what David was facing. And so David learned, when you're bearing a load and you feel like a victim, and my friend, really the only place you have to go is to the Lord. And David said, in my distress, in them times of being a victim, I didn't call my best friend and gripe to him about how bad it was. He said, I didn't get on Facebook and air it out about how bad that my life really was. Amen. He had no tweets to send out. He had no messages to post. He had no bad emails. And friend, he got to the place where he feels so victimized. And my friend, he turns his face to heaven, and he calls upon the Lord. And David begins to reflect on this now, and he said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, then the earth shook, verse number 7, and trembled the foundations also of the hills, moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils. And we can read on down David's description as he reflects on, amen, his load and where he was feeling like a victim. He said it was then that the Lord reigned, and he begins to describe the Lord in all his power, in all his lordship, in all his might, in all his authority. And David said, I tell you why, and I've gone from victim to victor, it's because the Lord was on the throne. And through it all, I may not have been on the throne. I may have not had control over it all. I may have been whining and weeping and crying. But the Lord was the Lord, and he's always been. And I say tonight, I'm glad this ain't, listen, I can look back across the years since I've been saved, and it ain't always been easy. I ain't always drove the vehicles I'm driving tonight. I ain't always, my friend, ate the things I've ate. There's been times my back was against the wall, and the devil, my friend, made the load the greater, and I felt like a victim. Hey, man, you ever been there where you say, Lord, all I'm trying to do is serve you, and this is what I get? That's where David got in his life. It's the mentality of a victim. And David said, hey man, he's got a little gray in his hair now, and he's looking back across the years of his life and the times he's been in situations, and it was more than he could handle. He said, through it all, I didn't see it back then. I'm looking back on it all, I see the Lord was right there, and the Lord was reigning, and the Lord was in control when I felt like it wasn't in control. He was in control, and I felt like it was more than I can handle. He was able to handle the load I had. There's a reflection about his load. There's a reflection about his Lord. Hey man, listen, my friend, there's too many children of God walking around tonight with the mully grubs. Amen. I call it the poochy lip disease. Amen. Our our lips are pooched out, and amen, our heads is hung low, and our shoulders droop over, and we, amen, go through life like, amen, everything's bad, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I know what Paul said about the last days, but I'm not putting my head in the sand. Amen. Listen, I believe the victory that we have is rooted in Him. He is on the throne. He is in charge. And I don't care what your load is tonight. Amen. You can have victory, even when you feel like you're a victim. You say you just don't know where me and my family is. I don't need to know. I know this tonight. There's a God in heaven who knows. There's a God in heaven. He ain't worried about it one bit. David described a God that, listen, we got this mentality in our day. Amen. There's a crowd that refers to it as the old man upstairs. Amen. I'm telling you, that's blasphemy. He ain't the old man upstairs. He's the God of all glory. Amen. He doesn't sleep and he don't slumber. He don't get afraid and he don't worry. And David said all them days, I felt like a victim. And I worried myself to death. I know, looking back on it, that the Lord was right there all along. The reflections that He expounds. Notice with me number two, as we talk about going from victim to victory. David, I believe it. And man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things we can give tonight. If we went verse by verse, just hang with me, okay? Y'all about to preach me to death already this evening. Watch this with me. In verses 19 through 26, I noted in this psalm, there's the righteousness that David exhibited. And when you study his life, you would think that Saul would have had some dirt on David. When you consider all that David went through and how people hated it, you would have thought, man, that David had a slap somebody, and my friend not paid his bills, or my friend really done somebody dirty. Are you listening? David in this psalm, he's looking back on his life. He considers my friend and begins to reflect on some things. Then David says to you and had and makes a declarative statement. He said in verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now notice what he said in verse number 21. What? He said, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. And David said, I'm telling you, I've been living an upright life. I wasn't in sin back there when Saul was trying to run me down and throw javelins at me and run me through with swords. And as I had in caves and on the road and felt like a victim, David had something on the inside that David can say, I know that I'm right with the Lord. And I say that's important. If you're going to go from victim into victory, there's got to be a man righteousness in your life. Notice with me tonight that David proclaims the consistency of his righteousness. Did you catch what he said in verse 21? He said, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. You say, what's that mean? That means he guarded righteousness in his life. He didn't let it go. And it would have been easy to walk away when nobody was looking, when his family wasn't around, when he was in the darkness, and David could have done anything David wanted to do. David said he was there, and I kept the ways of the Lord. I say, my friend, it's when we feel like victims, if we're not careful, we begin to justify unrighteous decisions in our life. There have been many church members and preachers that my friend got crossed up with God because they got a victim mentality. David said, even though I felt like a victim, even though I felt like Saul was doing me wrong, even though I didn't even see the Lord many days in it all, and I thought I was being destroyed, he said, I had one thing I could rest my head on at night, and that was that I stayed right with God. Amen. We're living in a generation, my friend, where people do right when the preacher's around. They do right when everything's going well, but you let a bump in the road come up and they'll justify doing this and they'll justify doing that. And David said, that's not how I've lived my life. I've been holding on and keeping the ways of God. I've been living uprightly. I've been living a righteous life. It's amazing how many people play church on Sunday. Can I preach here for a minute? They'll play church on Sunday and my friend, they ain't keeping the way of the Lord on Monday. It wasn't the life David lived. David said, on the Lord's day I kept his way. On Monday I kept his way. When I was in a cave I kept his way. When I've been on the throne I've kept his way. David could say, there was righteousness in my life. Say, preacher, my life's in a mess. Can I ask you tonight, are you right with God? I'm not saying every bad situation. Certainly the life of David proves to us that my friend, there are times we're right with God and we suffer. And by the way, probably if you are right with God, you're going to suffer. But while you're suffering, have you stayed right with God? David declares a consistency of his righteousness. And my friend, he done right. He's kept the ways of the Lord. He's just steadily lived for God through every ounce of persecution and through all being victimized and run through and run out of town. That David, my friend, has consistently stayed right with God. Now, watch this now. That leads to my second point, and that is David declares not only the consistency of his righteousness, but he declares the compensation for his righteousness. Did you catch what he said in verse number 19? He said, the Lord delighted in me. That is, Saul didn't like me, and the Philistines didn't like me. Michael didn't like me. My children ain't like me. My family hadn't cared for me. Nobody around except 600 men had fought by my side. And David said, I know this, though. I've stayed right with God. And because I stayed right, God has delighted in me. Pastor Phil Beck has a statement that I've picked up on when we was in their church down there, and that is, if you'll do right when nobody's watching, God will honor you when everybody's watching. Can I say, I think that's what David is teaching in Psalm 18, that though he was being victimized, though he was being persecuted, though he felt like he wasn't going to get out of it, he stayed right with God. And now at the latter end of the years of his life, he's getting ready to pass on into glory. And Brother Jerry, he can say with confidence, and I stand where I am tonight. It's the grace of God, and it's the grace of God that kept me right, and it's the grace of God that rewarded me for staying right. And I say tonight, it does matter. Amen. Many of you, many of us tonight, you and I together find ourselves, amen, where God can't deal with us in a rewarding way as it relates to mercy and purity and uprightness tonight, because we don't live that way. But David said, amen, those that'll show mercy, they'll get mercy, and those that'll show purity, amen, they'll get a pure God, and those that'll be upright with their fellow man, and God will deal with them upright. Amen. Can I say, amen, I think that's what the Lord, didn't he say something about, amen, those that'll be merciful, they'll, amen, they'll obtain mercy, and them peacekeepers that, amen, listen, some people act like if you're a saved, independent, fundamental King James Bible thumping Baptist, that you got to be mean. God help us. We wonder why we got a victim mentality. God can't treat us with mercy because we ain't ever extended mercy. Amen. David said, I tell you what, amen, God has given me mercy. I ain't been perfect, but I've been trying to stay right with God. There were times that David could have killed Saul and would have been ascended to the throne. And my friend, by all points and standards of men, would have been right in doing so. But he gave mercy because he gave mercy. Yet he got mercy. Yet, amen, because David lived pure, God could deal with him in the pure blessings of God. And because David was faithful to be upright, God was faithful, amen, to bring David out of them bad situations. Our mentality of our generation is, you get one on me, I'm going to get one on you. You take something from me, I'm going to take something from you. You know how wicked that is? That man, it's killing our families, it's destroying churches, and it's robbing us of the blessings of God. Hey man, whatever happened to just do right? Just do right. If the whole world does you wrong, just do right. Hey man, if all the world turns on you and treats you bad, then why don't you just do right? David said, I kept it when I could have turned on him, then I stayed right with God, and because I did, hey man, God has brought me out of this victim mentality. Hey man, am I making sense tonight? I hope I am. Notice not only the reflections that he expounds that, and the righteousness, my friend, that David exhibited. Notice with me the rescue that David experienced. Hey man, I know I'm getting lengthy tonight. Hang with me, please. Hang with me. Y'all gotta know it's the fourth largest psalm in the Bible. I can't do it in 20 minutes, okay? Hey man, notice the rescue that David experienced. He goes over and reflects on what he's been through, how the Lord was there. He begins, my friend, to talk about, and through it all, I stayed right. You need not think you're going to move from victim to victory if you're not right with God tonight. You say, what's that mean? That means if you ain't saved, get saved. And if you are saved, live for God. Amen. That's all I can say about that. Now David, I believe, moves in verse 27 through verse number 45. And he begins to expound upon the rescue that he had experienced. Let me say this, that in all that David says about deliverance over and over, you read the word deliver or deliver or delivered or deliverance. And what he's doing, he's magnified. When he begins to describe that, he's magnified. Amen. And the rescues that have happened in his life, times when he was drowning and there was a rescue made on his life, times when there was no way out, that, amen, ultimately there was a way made out, and he begins to talk about the rescue that he experienced. But in doing so, every time he talks about it, every experience that he reflects on and that he mentions it, Brother Tim, he magnifies and gives glory and credit to God for being the one that brought him out. David didn't say, I tell you what, hey man, I was good at hide and seek. That's why I wasn't destroyed. That ain't what he said. Hey man, David didn't brag on his military mate. David, my friend, didn't brag on his friend. David didn't, my friend, exalt any human ability within himself. But over and over he said, it was him that brought me out. It was him that delivered me. It was him that showed up. It was him that made a way when there wasn't a way. It was him that rescued me from all them times I felt like I was a victim. Can I say tonight that, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that'll help you go from victim to victory when you realize it ain't about you, it's about him. Amen. It ain't about you. It ain't about how you've been treated. Amen. Gonna go have a little pity party because somebody did you wrong. Amen. And I'm not trying to be condescending on that. My friend, that'll put you in a victim mentality. Amen. Do you know how many bitter Christians there are tonight that can't get over some past wrongdoing? Amen. Because it's all about them. It's about how they sing. It's about the standards they have. It's about how they've lived for God. It ain't about you. It's about Him. Amen. At the end of the day, you can be righteous and stay consistent about it. And can I say, at the end of the day, it's still about Him. It's still about God's dealings and God's workings in our life. To go to victim to victor, you've got to give, amen, credit and glory to God for the rescues that you've experienced in your life. Notice how he does this. He begins, my friend, by talking about the fact that he'd been rescued by the presence of God. In verse 27, 28, and 29, notice what he said. He said, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. In other words, let me interject this real quick. You get proud on God. You get stubborn against God. Amen. You go bucking against God's anointed and God's children. You're going to get in trouble with God. You don't mess with God's youngins. And it not, you may get by with it tonight, but there's a payday someday. He said that crowd that exalt their self and be filled with pride, that God's going to bring them down. But David said, I tell you, he'll save the afflicted. Those that do right and love God and live for God. Amen. He'll be there to save them. Now notice what he said. He said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. What is he saying? I think he's magnifying the presence of God. He's saying, I know God's going to save me. And God's going to meet me in all my trouble, in all my sorrow, in all my being victimized. And God's going to run to my rescue. And God, watch this now. God's going to light a fire in my soul. He's going to fire me up in this state of darkness I'm in. Say, preacher, I'm losing the fire. I'm losing the fire of God in my life. And I say, it's in them times that God knows how to show up and rescue His children. Amen. It's His presence. It's His touch. It's Him walking in the darkness. It's Him being there as you're being beaten down. Amen. It's His presence that, amen, will rescue you out of the darkness. I love what He said in verse 28. He said, for by thee. Amen. That means bad. Amen. God's showing up. He felt all alone and felt like a victim. But now he's saying, I know that God was there. I got to the place where I was facing a troop and didn't know how to get through it. I was facing walls I couldn't get over. He said, but by thee. And God's showing up by my side. I was able to get through some things. I was able to get over some other things. Amen. And what's he doing? He's going from victim to victory by the presence of God. I'm so sick up to here. Can I give y'all a sick and tired message real quick? Of people that say, well, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. I'll be the first to admit I don't understand. But when you say you just don't understand what you're doing, you're closing everybody off, even God, my friend, from being able to show up and get you out of your victim mentality. You just don't understand. What they're saying is, I don't want to get through it. I don't want to get over it. I like being a victim. Amen. I ain't a living that way. Because when God shows up, you know what I've learned? Listen, amen. Now Saul wasn't going to go have, amen, tea with, amen, David wasn't going to go have a tea party with Saul. He wasn't going to go sit down over a meal. Amen. He knew he was after him, but David learned it. There were some things he could get through, and there were some things he could get over. Amen. If he let God stand by his side. When we get a victim, now hang with me now, when we get a victim mentality and say, well, I just can't get over it. What you're saying is, I'm not going to let God show up and help me with this. Am I right? I think I'm right. David said, I got in them places I felt like a victim and God showed up and stood by me. And he said, them things I didn't think I could get through, I got through. Them walls I thought I couldn't get over, he said, I was able to leap over. Amen. Them walls, I'm glad tonight. And when God shows up, you can get through and you can get over. The presence of God brought him. And if my friend of the place of rescue, notice with me, the precepts of God. He said, the ways of the Lord are perfect. He said, the word of the Lord is tried. And he goes down through there in the next several verses. He's magnifying, I believe, the word of the Lord. The precepts of God have helped David and rescued him when he didn't know what to do. Amen. In fact, if you'll notice with me in verse number, amen, let me find it. Lord, please help me to hasten on. He said in verse number 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. The right hand hath holding me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The verse I'm looking for is verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He said in verse number 30, he said, as for God, His way is perfect. And he reflects on that in light of the Word of God. But he said, or the Word of God, He's been teaching me and girding me. He's been putting truth in my life. And as a result of the precepts of God, amen, His way is perfect, but He's been making my way perfect. Say, I want my way to be perfect. You'll have to get in His Word, because His Word is perfect. The precepts of God, the presence of God, the power of God. It's amazing as you read down through this psalm. And over, David said, He done it. 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 He enlarged my steps. He gave me strength. He was my shield of salvation. What's he doing? He's magnifying the power of God that has rescued him. Now, how do you get all that? How do you get rescued by the presence, precepts, and power of God? Can I show y'all something the Lord showed me? I ain't trying to be charismatic tonight. There ain't a charismatic ounce of blood in my body. But when I saw this, son, it helped me. Look back to verse number 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Now watch it now. So shall I be saved, rescued, delivered, saved from all my enemies. Now the whole psalm is about the presence of God has delivered me. The precepts of God have delivered me. It's the power of God that has saved me and rescued me. But David said, I'm going to call upon Him who's worthy to be praised. And in doing so, praising Him, I'm going to be delivered from all my enemies. You say, I'm just waiting to quit feeling like a victim. Then I'll have victory and I'll praise God. Guess what? You're going to stay a victim. David said, as he gets ready in verse 3, he says in verse 3, as he's getting ready to go into verse 4 and 5 and 6, and talking about the distress and sorrow and depression that all that he's going through, and he said, I tell you what, I'm gonna call on Him, the only one worthy to be praised. And when I praise Him, he's looking back and he says, at times I felt like a victim, but I praised Him anyway. That's how God has brought me to the place that I've come into this state and spirit of victory. You say, that's charismatic, call it what you want, but sometimes you gotta find a place to praise your way out of your problem. Sometimes you got to praise your way to victory. Amen. Can I let y'all in on a little something? I'm saved and the pastor of the great Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, and I don't always have victory. I have bad days like you have bad days. I have Wednesday nights when I don't feel like coming to church. Amen. I know y'all don't have that problem, but I do. These times I don't want to deal with y'all. I love you and everything, but I just don't want to deal with you. But you know what I do? I put my big boy pants on and say, Lord, it's just right to go. So I'm going to go. And I'm going to try with all that's in me to do right. Find something to get in on, something to say amen to. I'll find some little song I can throw my hand up in the air and say, you know what, I may not feel it now, but that's right. Amen. Yeah, man, I try to find something in a testimony somewhere to say, yeah. Amen. That's right, He is in charge. Amen. He is in control. Amen. My friend, I've learned that through it all, when you just go on and you say, hey man, I'm tired of being a victim. I'll praise Him anyway because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. That when you begin to do that, it's amazing how He shows up. It's amazing how He gives you a word. It's amazing how the power of God helps you get through what you feel like's made you a victim. Amen. The rescue that He experienced. Notice with me, what number am I on? Lord, have mercy. We got to go. Number four, the resolve that David exercises. Verses 1 through 4, this psalm begins. David's moved in his heart to be resolved to maintain his relationship with God. There's the pronouncement of his resolve. He makes three pronouncements. He said, watch it, I will love thee, O Lord. He said in verse 2, I will trust. That's resolve. Are you listening? He's saying, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to love the Lord. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to trust it. He said in verse number 3, I will call. Whether I feel like it or not, whether I see it doing any good or not, I'm not going to lose that state of prayer and calling on the Lord. What's he doing? He's pronouncing there is a resolve in his heart that he's going to love, trust, and call upon the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm just too low. I'm just too low. Well, what you need is some I will about you. Amen. Sometimes you got to make yourself do what's right. There's the pronouncement of it. There's the purpose for David's resolve. The reason why he was so resolved. He gives an eightfold declaration. The character of God that I believe motivated and inspired David to be resolved. He said in verse 2, the Lord is my rock. That is, God was, that God was his stability. He said, he's my fortress. That is, he's my safety. He said, he's my deliverer. That is, that he was David's Savior. He said, he's my God. That is, he was David's sovereign. That word for God that is used there, one definition, Zodiati said, means hero. David said, God's my hero. There's a time when Saul was his hero and Saul let him down. Amen. And when your heroes let you down, thank God, he's still God. You can still trust him. Amen. He's still in charge over all things. He's my God. He said he's my strength. That simply is David's strength. He said he's my buckler. That is, David said he's my security. He said he's the horn of my salvation. That deals with that large tower sitting up in the wilderness that the army would run to, and it was stocked with ammo and supplies. And when the battle got rough, they could stand on the wall, amen, in victory and shoot down at the enemy and be above the war, not under the war. Amen. David said, he's my supply. Amen. I'm glad tonight. That's why I'm resolved that I love the Lord tonight. Amen. I know who he is. Said, when I don't love him like I ought to love him, it's my ag getting off of him and his character. I'm going to trust him tonight. Amen. He's worthy to be trusted. You can trust the Lord tonight. Amen. And because you can trust it, you ought to have resolve that I will call on him even when I feel like a victim. Resolve that David exercised. And then verse 46 through 50, the rejoicing that David expresses. In the closing verses, you can see the sun setting on David's life. It's the last psalm, whether he knows it or not, it's going to be the last psalm that he writes that we know about. You know how he left life? He left life saying, the Lord lives. Amen. Looks back on all that and he said, oh yeah, I know he lives. I couldn't stand where I stand today in victory. He didn't live. He begins, my friend, to say he ought to be exalted. He said, I'm going to give him thanks because he's delivered me. He's given me mercy. He's given me deliverance. He's been God and Lord in my life. What's he doing? He's ending his life in victory. He's ending his life in a spirit of rejoicing that reflects he's not dying a victim. He's dying in victory. It's amazing how the message tonight, and I didn't intend on it to be this way, how it fits in what we've been preaching on Sunday mornings. I don't want to leave this world. I don't want the Lord to come tonight, me having a victim mentality. See, preacher, there's a lot of things I don't like. Well, God's either in control or he ain't. You say, well, I know he's in control. We'll have some victory. I'm not saying we don't weep. If anybody knows about being depressed, I know about it. If anybody knows about bad days, I identify with what you go through. You're going to weep through life. But while you're weeping, don't lose sight of who he is. While you're hurting, don't forget He's still on the throne. While you feel like this thing is killing you, don't forget the Lord's still everything He's always been. Going from victim to victory. Where are you at tonight? Can I ask you an honest question? I've preached way too long. What have I preached? About 55 minutes, I think. Is that right? All right. Y'all don't act like you keep time, but somebody here does. Listen, where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight? Are you a victim? Woe is me. Woe is me. You just don't understand. Preacher, if you only knew. You know what that is? That's victim talk. Or are you living in victory? You can go from one to the other. If you're in victory tonight, you better be careful, because there's enough in this world to knock the wind out of you and you'll be a victim tomorrow.
Amen.
But thank God, if you're a victim tonight, you can go from being a victim to being in victory.
Amen.
You say, preacher, go ahead and start playing, sister. Y'all stand. You say, preacher, my situation seems like it's more than I can handle. Won't you come to the Lord tonight? Let the Lord help you. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Father, I love you tonight, and I'm thankful that you are who the Bible says you are. Lord, I want to thank you for every battle you've ever won. Well, thank you, Lord, tonight for, Lord, every little skirmish you've put down. Every day you've given us strength to live another day. Lord, all the times you've been there and you've come through, and Lord, forgive us for all the days we've felt sorry for ourselves and played the part of a victim when there's victory to be had in our Lord. Father, we sure, Lord, here's a young man tonight looking down the road. Lord, we want to leave this world one day in victory. And Father, I pray you'd help us live tonight, that it'll be possible, Lord, in the end, Lord, to leave rejoicing and still magnifying the Lord and not the load. Help us, Lord, tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. There's a few that's come already, several on the altar. You need to come this evening. You come. Lord spoke to your heart. No one's looking around. Would there be one here tonight say, Brother Jeff, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord. I don't have no personal relationship with the Lord. My life's, I'm living it like a victim. It's spinning out of control, and I believe it's because I'm not saved. Is there one anywhere? I want to pray for you this evening. Preacher, my life's spinning out of control. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Is there one anywhere? How many say tonight, preacher, there's a lot of things wrong in my life, and I'll be honest, I needed the reminder tonight. I don't have to be a victim. I can have victory in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Preacher, please pray for me that I live in that. I needed that tonight. Is there one anywhere? God bless you, brother. Is there another? God bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Sister, God bless you. There'll be another. Preacher, please pray for me. God bless you, sister. There'll be another. Preacher, please pray for me. Man, I got, God bless you, sis. God bless you, ma'am. Preacher, I'll be honest, there's just so many things that set itself against me. I don't know how I'm going to get through. I don't know how I'm going to get over. Preacher, I'll be honest, I struggle being a victim and not living in victory. Say another tonight. Father, this evening I pray again, help us. Help these that have raised their hand. Lord, tonight we've, Lord, tried to study and, Lord, go through this psalm tonight as best we could. Lord, I pray that it'd speak to hearts tonight and help people. Lord, I pray, Lord, we'd not get lost in the length of the sermon, or, Lord, that we'd not miss it in the length of the passage. Father, may we understand, Lord, there's a greater plane that you'd have us live on than what many of us are living. Help us, Lord, we pray. Need your help. Help these that have raised their hand. You know what they're going through. Bless them, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.